This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. In the midst of the Democratic National Convention, mainstream journalists like us flocked to Charlotte to report on the festivities. But while most were looking for the delegate in the zaniest outfit and the best buffet, a few news organizations were looking for voices that otherwise might be lost in all the noise. Democracy Now! Is a progressive independent news program that focuses on things like corporate protest and the fight for voting rights in North Carolina. Amy Goodman is an award-winning journalist and best-selling author. She co-founded Democracy Now! In 1996 and turned it into one of the most substantial voices in journalism today. She's going to be in the area this weekend to give a talk at the Eno River Unitarian Universalist Fellowship Church in Durham, and she has a new book out. She co-authored that book with Dennis Moynihan. It's called The Silenced Majority, Stories of Uprisings, Occupations, Resistance, and Hope, and she joins us now. Amy Goodman, welcome to the State of Things. So good to have you on this program.
It's great to be on with you, Frank.
So tell us a little bit about why your decision to go to both the Republican and Democratic National Conventions, cover them live, two-hour special programs live from those conventions. So many people say, look, these are pageants, they're scripted events, no good can come of this. You think it's very important to be there. Why?
Oh, there's no question. Yeah, we did 2 hours a day. We called it Breaking with Convention, War, Peace, and the Presidency, and we covered the conventions inside and out. And especially important to get outside. That's where we were on the first night of the Democratic Convention, about 5 o'clock or a little before, when they gaveled it open. It was pouring rain here in Charlotte. And a bus pulled up to the front of the convention called the Undocu Bus. And it was filled with undocumented immigrants. They got out, and 10 of them, a daughter with her parents, another young woman with her mother, and a few other people walked outside chanting, "No papers, no fear." They spread a large butterfly, a banner, on the ground as the rain poured down. Hundreds of riot police and police on bicycle came from all different areas. And they said, "We're here to ask President Obama what his legacy will be." They say, on which side of history does he want to be remembered as the president who's deported more people than any president in U.S. history, or is he going to be on the side of immigrants? And they sat down in the pouring rain, each of them risking not only arrest and the civil disobedience, but risking deportation, because here they were without papers, and 10 of them did get arrested. Ultimately, they were released. But that has launched the modern-day civil rights movement for immigrants in this country, these actions over the past years, are particularly led by young people. And you know it got inside, because President Obama yesterday was even talking in his speech about the Dreamers. I mean, he was a community organizer, so he knows the power that they have, and particularly significant to do it in Charlotte, one of the sites of one of the first sit-ins at a lunch counter after Greensboro. Folks came here to Charlotte in North Carolina, and they sat in at a lunch counter here. So this movement is only gaining power, and we felt it's important to be there with our microphones, talking to what are so often nameless people, not nameless to their families, to their communities, but to the rest of this country. And I think that's where the media should be.
I have to say, they certainly weren't, because while you say the message may have gotten into the convention center, it didn't get out to the public. I searched that. You gave extensive coverage to it on Democracy Now! And by that, I mean not just reporting on it, but we heard the statements of all the people who stood in the rain, risked arrest, to talk about their need for what they believe is better immigration policy. We heard them, and it went on for several minutes as we heard each one. Then I did a search. There was no other broadcast coverage of that event, and the only coverage, really, of demonstrations was to say that they'd fizzled, that there weren't really many people, that there wasn't much in the way of demonstration. That was the reportage over an entire week, unlike what you did, which is to say to give voice to those.
Right. And, you know, I mean, President Obama knows it, and as do other political elected leaders, certainly Mitt Romney as well. They always talk about that individual who stops everything by standing in front of a police truck, you know, a tank in Tiananmen Square. And so why don't we hail people in this country in the same way? When we were at the Republican National Convention, and I'm going to be talking about this in Durham on Saturday night, we went to Romneyville, right? That's modeled on the Hoovervilles of more than half a century ago, three quarters of a century ago. And we met four Bain workers. They work in Illinois. They worked at a plant, and they're just between Wisconsin and Iowa. And they learned that their factory that makes automobile sensors, motor sensors for cars and actually for planes, was being bought by a company called Sensata. They looked up Sensata, and they realized it was owned by Bain Capital. And they were shocked. Some of these workers had been sent to China to train what turned out to be their replacements, and then Chinese workers came for them to finish the job. And they were so shocked when they learned it was Bain Capital this past summer that they started going to Romney's speaking events, and they went to one in Iowa. They stood up, and they tried to tell Mitt Romney what was happening, and the crowd chanted, USA, USA. And as one of the workers said, he said, they called us communists, but here we were, American workers, trying to stop our jobs from being outsourced to communist China.
Well,
who's American?
Who's American here? But that brings us to this question about your program, Democracy Now, an award-winning program, winning lots of awards for investigative journalism. Every time your program is described, there are always modifiers. It is a progressive, independent, somehow not a normal show. It is about what is it about our coverage and our expectations of coverage that if we talk about Abu Ghraib, if we talk about Guantanamo Bay, if we talk about torture and police presence, that somehow we're outside the mainstream because somebody else didn't bring, a newsmaker didn't bring that into the headlines. What are you doing talking about a story that isn't on the floor of the House today?
Well, you're right. I mean, Frank, let's look at all these pundits on the corporate networks. They know so little about so much, explaining the world to us and getting it so wrong. I say, go to where the people are and have them speak. It's interesting. I won't name him, but when I was covering the immigrant protest, a very well-known TV personality journalist came up to me and said, what do they want? What are they doing here? I said, and I was standing right in front of one of them, and she was explaining what she wanted. I said, why don't you ask Rosie? And so he said, no, just tell me what they want. I said, Rosie, what do they want? Could you tell him what they want? And then she starts talking to me. He looked shocked. He took out his notebook.
Yeah.
He started writing down who could say it more eloquently than someone speaking from their own experience. And, I say just follow the basic tenets of good journalism. You follow the money, first of all, and that's what we did in the corporate suites. That's very important, especially in this first post-Citizens United election. Absolutely critical to find out who's funding these parties, talking about it with the Democrats and with the Republicans. I went to find David Koch. He was a New York delegate, the billionaire, half of the Koch brothers. Well, they have another brother, but the Charles and David Koch have been funding the Tea Party and promised to, I think, give something like $400 million to these elections and find out what they were going to be paying for. Democracy Now! Went to find Sheldon Adelson, who says he'll spend up to $100 million. And it's very important. That's our job as journalists. We're not supposed to party with the parties. We're supposed to hold those in power accountable. And that's what we're doing as we travel the country on our 100 city tour, and looking forward to coming to Durham on Saturday.
You have made the point that, and I want to talk about your book in a second, but I want you to talk about this, that everybody talks about the division and the divisive quality of politics today. You say, no, that's not the problem. It's not divided. It's the bipartisan consensus we need to worry about.
That's right. I mean, how much talk is there of the divisions in Washington that are wrecking this country? I think it's the bipartisan consensus that's a problem. I mean, let's look at different issues. For example, on war, Mitt Romney wasn't hitting out at President Obama because he supports the war. I think he mentioned war once. He would just like it to be longer. But those who elected President Obama, you know, the many different movements that converged in 2008, largely the anti-war movement. I think that's even why President Obama was the Democratic nominee in 2008 against Hillary Clinton. I mean, that was the one distinguishing factor between them. She voted to authorize war in the Senate, and he was opposed to it. And she held on to that to the bitter end, well, right before the end, and then she said she was wrong because she saw she was losing. But this issue of war is absolutely critical to take this issue on, to find out what the candidates think. And, of course, why Clint Eastwood, that bizarre address he gave, the only unscripted one, so it was very refreshing. What did he say? How come President Obama hasn't closed Guantanamo? Now, a lot of people do ask that. He promised when his first promises in office was he would, and he didn't. But you could imagine Mitt Romney's jaw dropping. He doesn't want Guantanamo closed. And, you know, why hasn't he brought the troops home? Mitt Romney would bring them home tomorrow. And Mitt Romney's looking, what is he saying?
Whoopsie. Yeah, nice that we're going to give him a script.
That's the consensus that is the problem.
I've got 20 seconds left, and I want you to talk briefly about your book, The Silenced Majority.
Well, The Silenced Majority is just that. The idea that those who are deeply concerned about war, those who are concerned about poverty, inequality, those who are concerned about the financial crisis in this country are not a fringe minority, not even a silent majority, but the silenced majority, silenced by the corporate media, which is why we have to take it back and give voice to all those people who make history in this country.
Amy, thank you so much. Good to see you, and welcome to Durham.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to being there on Saturday night.
Amy Goodman, founder and host of Democracy Now!, the website democracynow.org. The book is Silenced Majority, Stories of Uprisings, Occupations, Resistance, and Hope. She will be speaking tomorrow at Eno River Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Durham. 7 o'clock, tickets at thepeopleschannel.org. Just ahead, our preview of this year's Hopscotch Music Festival kicks off with rapper Killer Mike. Stay with us on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.